Good evening, everyone. This is the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board, meeting of September 15th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards Tickert. I'm the chair of the committee. I'd like to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay, Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov. Bill Closier.
I'm here.
Adrian is here.
Okay. Brian Edwards Tickert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
Nancy Sorden. Barbara Whipperman. Okay, that's eight. That's quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. I sent out a draft agenda after our last meeting. It devoted a substantial amount of time to review of budgets from the National Office and Pacifica Archive, which we do not have as of yet. But we'll need a motion to approve it before we can modify it. Anybody?
So moved.
Thank you. I have a motion from, was that Bill or Michael?
Mike.
Thanks, Michael. Motion from Michael Novick to approve the agenda. Here is my suggestion that we leave the agenda as is, and when we get to the National Office and Pacifica Archive budget items, we have a brief discussion of what it will take us to get budgets for discussion, but that we not spend a lot of time amending the agenda. Does anyone wish to propose any changes?
Could the agenda be read for the stream?
Certainly. Minutes approval, then budget review and approval, starting with National Office, then Pacifica Radio Archive, then preliminary review of station budgets, in order KPFA, K, T, WPFW, and WBAI, with a hard adjournment time of 8 o'clock Pacific, which is 11 Eastern. Sorry, Michael, I could barely hear you.
I didn't say anything, I'm sorry. Someone was walking through here.
Okay.
Going to have a face-to-face meeting here later on. Did you ask me something?
No. Are there any proposed changes to the agenda? Hearing no amendments, are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, the agenda is now approved. We're on to minutes approval. The first set of minutes we have is from our meeting of August 25th, 2015. Can I have a motion to approve them?
So moved. This is Lydia.
Thank you, Lydia. Does anyone wish to propose any amendments to the minutes of August 25th? Hearing none, does anyone object to the minutes of August 25th? Hearing no objection, those minutes are now approved. We're on to the minutes of September 8th, 2015. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the minutes of September 8th?
Hello?
Hello?
Can anyone hear me?
Is that Serene?
Yeah. I just want to go on record as abstaining for both sets.
Abstaining for the minutes of August 25th?
Of both sets.
Okay. The minutes of August 25th are approved without objection. Does anyone wish to propose any amendments to the minutes of September 8th?
R. Paul, I'm so moved.
Oh, thank you for moving approval of the minutes. Does anyone wish to propose any amendments to the minutes of September 8th? Hearing no amendments, does anyone object to the minutes of September 8th? Hearing no objection, the minutes are now approved, and we are on to budget review and approval. Do we have anyone from the National Office on the call with us?
Question?
Yes, sir.
Was someone wanting to abstain? Because then we got to go through a vote if somebody's going to abstain. I will point out that abstaining doesn't put anything on the record other than that there was an abstention. But whatever. But anyway, rather than have a big argument next time over the minutes, if there are going to be any votes on these things, we need to have the votes. Otherwise, both of them are passed without objection.
I'm not hearing anything, so they are both passed without objection. Do we have anyone from the national office on the call? Okay. I will follow up with the good people at the national office about what the status of their budgets is. They're usually the conduit for Pacifica Radio Archive budgets for us as well. I did have, previously received a request from Efren Urinas to be added to the email list for this committee. Does anyone object to taking a vote on that now? I think we need him in the loop on our communications. All right, I didn't hear any objections.
Well, I had a question. This is Bill. I mean, if this is just, yep. I mean, the CFO, when we have a CFO, should be on the list. So if this is just temporary until we have
the CFO is an ex officio member of the committee.
But normally they're on the
but
list.
But we don't have a CFO.
Right, I understand that. But normally they're on the list. So is there any idea when we'll have a CFO? Because presumably then we would take Efren off. Is it worth the effort to just do it for a few weeks? I don't know.
Lydia could answer your question about the CFO hiring process. I believe she's on the committee. Lydia?
Hi, am I unmuted now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, so we're on the verge of starting our interviews for CFO. I think we're progressing nicely. And, I mean, we have candidates to interview and we're moving forward. But I agree with Bill, if I understood him, is that Efren should be on the list until we get a CFO.
Okay. I'll
Brian,
formulate.
It's Barbara. Sorry I'm late.
Nancy's also joined just now.
Hi, Barbara and Nancy. I'll Paul, if you could mark them both down as present.
Yeah, it's done.
Thank you. I'll formulate the motion that way. So the motion will be as follows, that Efren Urinas be added to the National Finance Committee listserv until such time as a new CFO is hired. And until such time as a new CFO is hired. I'll send that out right now.
Okay. Why don't you read it so we all make sure we have it?
Sure. Read what you're putting in the record.
That Efren Urinas be added to the NFC listserv until such time as a new CFO is hired.
Anyone want to propose any changes to the language? Does anyone object to that action? Hearing no amendments or objections.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Do we need to add his title?
Do we, if you want to propose adding his title, be my guest?
Yeah. What is it? Temporary controller?
I believe it's interim controller. But I don't know for sure. That's why I omitted his title.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir?
Yeah, I've been carrying him as what's officially posted somewhere, National Office Financial Planning and Analysis Manager. So
I withdraw my amendment.
That's
okay.
Not.
So we'll stick with the name and not the title.
Yeah.
Any objection to the motion to add Efren Urinas to the listserv?
Linares, I think it's pretty good.
Hearing no objections, that's done. Mr. Secretary, you'll take care of that?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, I think that exhausts discussion on the National Office budget and the Pacifica Radio Archive budget. But we do have station budgets in various stages of completion for four of our stations. So let's say we go through those. The first we have on our agenda is KPFA. This is item C1. I sent this out yesterday as a PDF. And
transfer. I am sorry, that's not a valid extension. Please try again.
And today as an Excel file in response to request from Bill Crozier. They're the same budget, although there is more detail in the Excel file. Folks have questions on the KPFA budget?
Question on the spreadsheet. For the first tab, annual budget, it goes to column AW, then AX on is gray. Is that just a formatting thing, or is this some special meaning here?
You mean, is there a meaning to the fact that it's gray?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I think those everything that's gray is stuff that's being used for calculation or analysis. They're not budget figures or actuals.
Oh, okay. So we should pay attention to the part that has the regular white background instead of the gray background.
I believe so, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I think the white area is what prints.
Tony, for a question.
Sure, Tony. Anyone else to stack? Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. Just in terms of the employees and salaries, how many full-time and part-time are we talking about? Are you in this budget for?
Let me see. It'll take me a minute to pull up the detail on that. It's got a million tabs in it. It is a small reduction. It's 26.85 full-time equivalencies, down from 29 in the previous year's budget.
And part-time?
Well, those are full-time equivalencies, so that's adding all the hours up. There's not an analysis of how many full-time versus part-time positions. Or there's not a tally.
So the number is 26.8?
Yeah, 26.85.
This is Bill, I had a question.
And there's not an analysis of how many of those are full-time or part-time? How does that break down? I'm a little confused.
Well, it doesn't tally them that way. A full-time person is one full-time equivalency. A half-time person is a half-time equivalency. And so forth.
Bill for the stack.
Oh,
I if you'd like, I can request the KPFA's business manager do that tally.
Yeah, I would like to know that for all of the units. Breakdown for the full-time and part-time.
So you want to know full-time and everyone less than part-time? I mean, less than full-time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adriana?
And one other quick question before I get off the stack. I saw the board expenses. What exactly are those for?
I believe it's... Yeah, our business manager told the board that was her best guess at election expenses.
Okay. Which is what?
About $41,000? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
And she said she had not been given a figure from the national... Sorry, it's... $43,800. She had not been given a figure from the national office. So on stack, I heard R. Paul Martin, I heard Bill, I heard Adriana. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, I'm just asking, are the income figures the same, you know, basically based on what the income was last year, and since the income for FY15 also included almost $1 million in bequests, how is that being handled? Are you, you know, you can't really predict a bequest, so are you going to put any of that in there and say maybe you'll get something, or are you just going to leave that at zero at this point and hope?
Yeah, that's a good question. Our local board had a long discussion about that. On the bequest line, there, which is the major donor line, mostly that captures bequests, there is $200,000 in the budget. And that is below KPFA's 5-year average on that line. But in the past 5 years, we have gone as low as $20,000 on that line. So you're completely right that it's not predictable and it can't be counted on. This budget cuts expenses and slims down days of fundraising. So what was discussed at the board meeting was that if no bequests come in, as the budget counts on, then the station will have to extend fund drives to make up the difference in income. On your general question about overall revenues, you can do the comparisons. It's lines O for the 2016 budget, sorry, row O, and row P for the 2015 projection. The projection's based on 10 months of actuals and 2 months of forecast. Next, was there anything else for you, Paul?
That was it.
Bill? Bill Crozier, you're next. You may also be muted.
Yeah, sorry, I had to go to the right place to unmute. Yeah, thank you. Actually, just slightly to follow up on our Paul, I mean, I understand it's lower than the average, but you might get into a cash flow crunch because the requests are somewhat unpredictable than any other major donor income. So if you're, you know, assuming it's going to come in uniformly during the year and you maybe you get $200,000 or more, but it's near the end of the year, you may still get into a crunch. So I think you just need to be prepared for that. In fact, it's probably likely that it won't be coming in uniformly through the year. The other thing I was going to ask about is listener support. It looks like you're projecting a higher listener support than you've had any year for the last 5 years, including this year, which is higher than the other years. So how do you anticipate getting that much more revenue for listener support? It's $2,655,000. This is column 08.
So starting with the cash flow forecast, that's the second tab in the Excel spreadsheet you have. It's also one of the PDFs that was sent out if you're working from the PDF. If you check out the bottom line, actually the bottom line is in the document, sorry. Row 46 is the end of month cash balance. You'll see that the budget anticipates a low point cash point of $71,000 in November, which is 2 months into the budget year. And it's counting on $18,000 a month in bequest income. So if the bequest income were not coming in as planned or as anticipated by the budget, there would still be a positive cash balance in all months And that's because of the, you know, basically the bequest money that we're carrying over from this year. There would be, you know, we'd be close to scraping bottom in November, but not below bottom. And rosier in every subsequent month.
Okay, well, I'm mostly just worried about, I mean, I'm glad you have a plan, you know, to increase fund drive days. I mean, that's not a good thing to have to do, but if you're planning on fewer fund drive days without this, then, or without this problem, then if you have fewer bequests, then as long as that's not going to be a problem to increase the fund drive days, then you just, I guess, need to be prepared for that. But back to listener support. That, do you know why that's so much more? Because we're trying to use our, you know, proven revenue budgeting for all these line items. And I know it's always tempting to progress, to project more listener support. I just wonder if there's a reason for having it higher than any of the preceding 5 years.
Yeah, well, it's 2.655 million versus 2.6 million projected.
For this year.
The increase is pretty small. The difference between the budget year and the current year is that in this year, management canceled quite a bit of budgeted fundraising after it received $1 million in bequest money. So the budgeted birthday fundraiser was canceled at KPFA. They lopped 5 days off our spring fundraiser, and they canceled our spring fundraiser. And some of those days are going back into next year's budget. You can see the detail, I believe, on the fund drive pledge details sheet. And you'll see that the daily averages that the budget is based around are the exact daily averages that we made in each comparable fund drive in the preceding year. And then the budget
to be conservative. Days of, 71 days of fund drive?
That's correct. Okay. And the budget to be conservative assumes we'll only raise 95% of that amount.
Okay. I'm still looking at, you know, the averages, like for the FY11 through FY13, the average was 2.502 million per year. And, yeah, FY14 unaudited 2529. So, I still think that's something you need to watch out for, because as we've gotten ourselves in trouble that way in the past, is projecting too high listener support, you know, with assuming everything's, you know, optimistic and we'll do great, but then, you know, we should be looking at our history. And I think that's what the national office was talking about, all of our stations trying to do, is to budget around the historical average of the last 5 years, unless we have something specific, you know, to justify the increase.
Yeah, I mean, the budgeting for listener support is kind of built on a model based off past fund drive performance. And I think the model in this case is sound. What you're seeing, and I don't like it either, is that the station is backfilling for the lack of CPV money by extending its fund drives. So in 2014, we were told, like all the other stations were told, to budget on the assumption that the CPV money would be coming in. And we didn't run fund drives long enough to balance our budget without that money. And in 2015, we budgeted to have substantially more days of fundraising in order to produce a balanced budget, but were able to call some of them off because of that windfall bequest income. In fiscal year 2016, we're trying to claw our way back a little bit on length of fund drive, but it's still more than we were at several years ago. So the increase is largely coming over the long run from more fundraising days. Not from rosy assumptions about how much we'll raise per day.
Okay, I'm still a little uncomfortable about it. assuming you're likely to have to increase fund drive days, maybe not. But let me go to the next question. I don't see anything in depreciation, which was down in line. Let's see, 102. That's for administrative depreciation, and I also don't see any depreciation under programming expenses, which was where things like transmitter and any production equipment would go. So what happened to depreciation?
There's no programming depreciation line that I'm aware of. Can you point me to a specific line?
102.
Under administrative.
Yes. And there's not anything under programming. Usually there's a depreciation line under programming expenses. or should be.
Hmm. Okay.
Capital.
Yeah. No, depreciation is under administrative. I mean, it's not a part of an operating budget. We never cut a check for depreciation.
Well, I know it's not cash flow. We get into this over and over again. It's not cash flow, but it's an expense. It's the cost of things like your building and, you know, major repairs to your building and any capital equipment, copying machines, all that stuff, computers that, you know, we spread out the cost over years. That's what depreciation is, instead of taking it all up front in the first year. And so you can't ignore it. And the auditors will definitely put it back in, assuming we have an audit sometime to cover this.
Well, the audits will put it into financial statements, but the audits don't draft our budgets for us. The budget's a plan for what you're going to make and what you're going to spend, and you don't spend money on depreciation.
Well, but it's analogous to the income statement.
Our budgets include a separate line for budgeting capital expense. Management has several major capital replacements they'd like to make in the coming year, including a replacement of our elevator, which has reached the end of its service life. What they did was budgeted $10,000 to retain a contractor to run a capital campaign, but they have not budgeted any income. In other words, they're budgeting the expense of fundraising for those things, but they're not counting on that money coming in.
Well, depreciation is still an expense for accounting. That's accounting standards call it an expense, and I realize it's not cash flow, but we've always had it in there in the budgets, and I think it should be in there. I think you should.
Yeah, we haven't always had it in there. I was treasurer of the KPFA local station board for 4 years, where we didn't put it in our budgets.
Well,
I know you had it in some years.
It was left out some.
That's not always, Bill.
And I know the auditors did put it back in the income statement. And you're right; it's not the budget, but it's the same information as the budget. So it makes if you don't plan for that, it makes you come up with a loss for the year when you end up doing the income statement. So you don't want to come up with a loss for the year. We're trying really hard to keep from increasing our deficit. So that's why I was worried about it.
Okay, well, I think you've made your point. I think I've explained KPFA's reasoning. On paper, we get hit with a very large depreciation expense because we own our building and we own a lot of equipment, some of which serves the network.
Right.
And it depreciates on paper. Those things also make us much more financially secure than many of our sister stations. And we budget based on what we actually expect to raise and what we actually expect to spend.
I understand. Well, I'll let some others go on. I do have some other questions, but I'll wait to let some others ask questions, too.
Adriana?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I don't see any the line 41. You don't have any capital expenditures that you have a top you see every year. And Shafia, that line is sincere this year. And you have in your average, let's see. It's difficult to see the way that it's put together. It's so difficult to see. Where is the average? Well, I don't know if you have it here, but obviously it's more than $500,000 a year. 2011, 2012, 2013. And even 2014 is close to $500,000, and this year you don't have anything.
Yeah, that's odd. I hadn't looked at the prior years before, but I find it hard to believe we spent $500,000 in capital expenses 3 years in a row. I will have to look into that. I mean, I know we didn't spend $500,000 in capital expenses.
Well, you have from October to July. It's really strange because you have like $39,000 a month during 2015, every month.
Yeah.
Something is not. Yes.
Yeah, that's totally weird. That almost looks like it's central services is landing on the wrong line or something. It's the exact same figure as central services. I think that's an artifact of whatever they used to take the general ledger output and put it in Excel. I mean, Adriana, you're right. I mean, we have spent money on capital in previous years, although it's a fraction of what you've seen there. Management initially came to KPFA's local station board with a wish list of about $180,000 in capital projects that they wanted to spend on in the year to come, which basically would have meant exhausting the cash cushion that we had left from the endowment we received this year. And what the local station board asked was that management raise money for capital expenses before they spend it, unless something fails. You know, if the elevator breaks or the transmitter goes down, do whatever you have to do to get it back up immediately. But for anything that hasn't failed, don't replace it till you've raised it. So they have put some money into the budget to spend on a capital campaign. But they're not planning to spend any until they've raised it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you know, when you do the urea budget, I mean, at the end, you will have depreciation need to be there, and whatever it is in capital expenditures, too. I mean, I feel a little bit uncomfortable with the difference. Without counting any of that, you have a surplus of $4,000. That doesn't sound to me like it's, you know, it's too little. I think that amount is too little.
Burn out?
Yeah. When you're counting, you know, like we said, major donor income of, you put it into $100,000, like you said, sometimes you have $40,000, and sometimes you have $1 million. But, I mean, it's a lot of uncertainty there, and without counting capital expenditures and depreciation, I think that those numbers need to be worked a little bit better, because obviously we'll be in the red.
Okay. Anyone else to stack?
Well, Bill, I'll ask if I can say something else.
Sure.
Okay, I did.
Is that Bill? Anyone else? Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I pulled up the most recent audit that we got from Raoul's for September, for the year ending September 30th, 2013. Depreciation and amortization was $105,395 for KPFA for that year. And so it's probably should be comparable to that for this coming year. It doesn't vary dramatically usually from year to year. So I think we're off by about that much in depreciation. And I do think we're off by about, I think we're about $100,000 probably higher than it should be for listener support. Now I realize you're planning on having additional fundraise if you need it, but if we're going to be using proven revenue budgeting and go by the average of the last 5 years, then, even $100,000, dropping it by $100,000 still puts it as high as any of the other years.
Well, except it's about $850,000 behind 2015. I mean, I hear you, Bill. I think a lot of us are hoping that we will have CPB funding reinstated at some point and leery of doing what you're suggesting, which basically would mean laying off the equivalent of four or five people, full-time people, and making permanent cuts that might hinder our future fundraising ability to get through a temporary situation, which is the lack of CPB funding. And we have a lot of cash in the bank. We've lent a lot of money out to the rest of the network. The staff here knows that we got $1 million in the past year. It would be very hard to justify to them cuts of the scale that you're suggesting.
Well, I'm just saying it'll be, if it ends up being like previous years, then after a year, perhaps less than that, you'll be in the situation of KPFK, where you may have to cut twice as many people because to keep from running a big deficit. That's the risk. And we should be looking at ways of actually restoring some reserves instead of just spending absolutely as much money as we possibly can. I think all of our stations seem to be looking at that.
Barbara for the stack.
Okay, I've got Barbara. Who else?
Adriana.
Adriana, who else?
Tony, for one quick question.
Okay, I've got Barbara, Adriana, and Tony. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I feel as though, Bill, you're thinking back to a time when there wasn't really any planned or accepted review of the budgets once the year began. And I think we have moved away from that to more reasonable accounting procedures that, you know, we start out with a budget and then we have review at a certain time. If it's not working out the way we thought, then we make adjustments. And I, you know, if you're going to make motions to cut anything, I would not be in favor of what you're proposing, simply because I would prefer to rely on quarterly or mid-year or both revisiting of the budget.
Okay. Adriana.
I think the bill is first. Or not, it's me. Okay. I know that the reality is that you people are sustaining basically the whole Pacifica. I don't have any doubts about it, and we all know it. But what is, putting that on the side, what I can see when I look at your expenses, I can see that your personal cost is almost 60% of your revenue. That is, I mean, in many other corporation for profit or not profit, where you put the brunt of your expenses is in development, in programming. For us, programming expenses is what is considered in any other company. Our products are the programs. It means I disparity there that really worries me. It's like and I see this all over the network. It's not only with you, but I see it, and that worries me. It's exactly that. We are kind of sustaining basically the personnel. I agree that you are the one that, you know, we cannot complain because you are one of, you know, like I said before, the one that are supporting the network. But I think that is something wrong when we put 60% of, practically 60% of our cost just in personnel. You know, I mean, should be the big effort should be in programming, in development and programming, not in personnel. But
Adriana, a considerable number of our personnel work on programming and development.
Yes, I understand that too. But it's still the same problem. When you put programming expenses, you have $147,000 compared with almost $2 million in personnel costs. Now, it's disturbing, that number.
Barbara for the stack.
And Lydia.
Okay. So Tony is next, and I've got Barbara and Lydia. Anyone else to stack? Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, just a quick question. I assume the LSB voted for this budget?
The LSB did.
And they gave their final approval of it.
Yeah, the LSB gave its final approval. It also, and I sent a cover note with the budget when I sent it out yesterday. The LSB would like that if CPB money is reinstated and all else is performing as planned in the budget, that the money from the CPB or any other windfall be used to further reduce days spent fundraising. We want to eventually hit a target of 60 days a year. So those are the two things the LSB approved, this budget and a plan for windfall that would include reducing fundraising days.
Okay.
Barbara?
I just wanted to comment for Adriana's point that you just made, Adriana. You know, I remember in the past some discussion of the appropriate percentage of revenue being spent on people, essentially. And I actually called, you might call, a competitor of ours. I spoke with the manager at KALW just to find out what percentage they went by. And they had, what he told me, this was a couple years ago, was 58%. And I think that's pretty close. And I think that any operation like this has to be mainly you're paying the people to do the work. So that's my reason for not being alarmed about this percent of personnel costs.
Okay, Lydia's next.
Yes, I just emailed the committee, but for the sake of those who are listening, on this issue of depreciation. This question was asked of Ross Wisdom, our former auditor, in 2011-2012. And in response to Director Aaron's question for him to define it, he said, one approach, let's say, I'm quoting, this is a transcript that I did from the audio, and the most advisable approach, and then he goes on, so let's say you have a capital budget, and then you would have an operating budget. And then in your operating budget, you would not have depreciation. But then in your capital budget, you would have an opening capital balance. And then it goes on to explain, so if you have capital reserves already for equipment or capital acquisitions, those are questions. So if so, you have a capital opening balance. And so it goes. But that is the most advisable. You can do it either way, he said. But most of the accountants that we've spoken to, independently or privately or whatever, take this approach, that you have a capital budget, but in your operating budget, that depreciation does not show up. And so I support the budget as it looks fine to me as I review KPFA, just knowing where they are and where they're going. So, anyway, I would be voting in favor of it.
Thanks for forwarding that transcript, Lydia. That's really helpful. I would just point out that you know, current management's track record at KPFA, last winter when it looked like we were underperforming our budget because we hadn't gotten those bequests yet, management proactively started making cuts here and negotiated a less extensive health plan with our union and so forth. The people we've got running the show now have been very on it about midstream course corrections. I've got Bill. Who else? All right, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, and well, based on what Lydia just said, you know, she said that it was advisable or preferable to include money in the capital expenditure budget, but again, there's zero in that line, as we discussed earlier, for 2016. There was money in there for previous years, but there's nothing for 2016. And I know you said there was plenty of money, you had plenty of cash in the bank, but again, looking at the cash flow forecast, you know, your expenses are average around $240,000 a month. And, you know, it varies, of course, from month to month. And most months, it looks like you have about 1.5 months worth of reserve or less. And on 2 months, October and November, you have considerably less than 1 month reserve. So it's not like you have a huge amount of reserve. I think all of our stations are having this problem. You know, we should be having probably at least 3 months of reserves in case some big thing comes up. We need to pay for some major equipment repair, or, you know, there's some crisis, or, you know, the transmitter, or your, I don't know, various things could happen. You know, we have hurricanes here, and now you have earthquakes out there, but hopefully nothing will happen any particular year, but, you know, we should be trying not to spend every dollar we have, and it seems like we're still looking towards doing that. But if Lydia's right, if Ross Wisdom recommends, instead of putting the money in as depreciation, putting it in, and the capital equipment line, we don't have it there either, so I think we still need to put that money in somewhere.
Yeah, so I mean, to your first point, though, I never said we have plenty of money. I said we have sufficient money that if the major donor income does not come in as budgeted, we will not be negative cash. We will not have trouble paying our bills. That is very different from saying we have plenty. And I would agree with you that 3 months is an ideal amount for every station. And it is about what KPFA would have in its bank account if everything the rest of the network owed us from the past year were paid back to us. If the committee wants to request a separate capital budget, and that's a fine idea, KPFA would probably have to balance it out the way KPFT did with its transmitter replacement, which is putting a comparable amount of income in there, and saying that this is anticipated money from a capital campaign. It won't get spent if it doesn't get raised. And if someone wants to request that KPFA management do their budgeting that way, we'll need a motion, and then they can work on it before our next meeting. Otherwise, if there's no more stack, we'll move on to the next budget. And my intention, by the way, is not to ask the committee to vote on any of these. It was agendized as preliminary review of station budgets. And I know people have only had an hour or two to look at some of them.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, I'm not sure we need a motion right now, but if it takes a motion, then I think you should either put depreciation in or add that to capital equipment, the capital expenditures, or the equivalent, as you were just saying, as KPFT has done, to budget for equipment replacement and put money aside for that.
Yeah, well, it's going to have to take a motion from the committee before we ask management to make any revisions of the budget. We're not going to do it based on wish lists from individual members, because individual members we don't know who agrees with that until we take a vote. So if there's not a motion, it'll be the status quo next week.
Okay, well, I move that we follow the recommendation that Lydia said that Ross Wisdom had, and add I'm not sure what the appropriate amount would be, probably whatever depreciation would be, an amount in as a capital expenditure line item, or put it into the capital expenditure line item in the budget. You want me to write that up?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need that.
Okay, hold me. Give me a minute or two.
Mari?
Is that you, Karen?
Yeah. How much time was allotted for this?
How much time what?
Was allotted for this item?
KPFA was 15 minutes, which we have long since exhausted.
Okay, thanks.
But we're still ahead of schedule on our agenda.
Okay.
Are you okay, Serene? Do you have laryngitis?
Sorry?
Are you okay? Do you have laryngitis?
I'm sick, yeah.
I think that's Nancy.
I'll be okay. Thank you.
I apologize. It's sometimes hard to hear you. I will try to listen better.
Thank you.
So I have a question, Ms. Nancy.
Yeah, go ahead,
so
Nancy.
So the national office and the PRA are we're still waiting on the figures for them, right? I just want to confirm that.
Yeah.
Okay. These budgets will eventually reflect those numbers.
I believe every station is currently budgeting on the assumption that they'll be paying what they did last year in central services to both PRA and the national office. And those numbers could, we could propose changing those numbers.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But still, will they be adjusted when we get the national office numbers and the PRA numbers?
Well, we may adjust it. We may not, but yes, that's still up for discussion.
Okay,
the motion for Bill has come through. Have you received it, Paul?
Yeah, I'm formatting it now.
And I left out the KPFA. We need to put that in there. It's for the KPFA budget. Sorry.
Okay. I'll put in KPFA there. Okay. What I have is that the NFC follow the recommendations of Ross Wisdom Auditor and put into the capital expenses line item an amount equivalent to what our depreciation expense would be, or alternatively, to put that directly into the depreciation line in the FY 2016 KPFA budget. How about we make that KPFA FY 16 budget, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, discussion?
Barbara. First, point of information.
What's your question, Tony?
This is to the treasurer there. Do you have any objection to that, or what's the issue with that? Is there a problem with that?
Are you talking to me, Tony, Barbara?
Yes, Barbara.
Well, I was going to suggest dividing the motion for one thing, the either-or business, and even if we dropped the part of using the old method that we used to be stuck with of putting depreciation inappropriately in the budget and we only had it in the capital, I was going to propose that this only be done after budget review of the first quarter. I don't think it's necessary now.
This is Lydia. Sorry, I had to...
Hold on. Okay. Hold on a second, Lydia. Barbara, if you're proposing changes to Bill's motion, I'm having trouble parsing the argument from the proposal.
Okay.
So are you proposing to amend Bill's
motion? Well, I asked to be on the stack, but then you took Tony's question first. So
I see.
I answered his question. And if you're asking me now to make...
Yes, take your place on stack, and Lydia, I'll get to you after Barbara.
Okay. So I have essentially two motions to make, but I'll make the first one first, to divide the issues of whether we put the depreciation in the capital section of the budget from putting the depreciation in the budget. And I would make a case or make my statement that I prefer it, if such a thing is done, that it's in the capital section and not this contorted process that used to be followed of putting it in the budget.
Okay. Does anyone object to dividing the motion?
I'm not sure you can actually... I'm reading this. I'm trying to figure out how to... I don't
can
know
we
that
read
the two
the
parts
motion?
Can stay independent, so...
Sure, we vote on one and then the other.
He's got to make the minutes. Let him process.
Would the members' intention be served by moving to strike the words "all alternatively" to put that directly into the depreciation line item?
I
You mean Brian? The depreciation line item in the budget?
Yeah, Barbara, he's asking to if we can change it into a motion that might more clearly serve your intent, which is just if you just strike all mention of putting it on the depreciation line.
You're suggesting that would be the better wording for my business.
It would be easier for him to make minutes out of than dividing a motion that doesn't clearly have two divisible parts.
My motion is that we drop, or are we, Brian, you pick the words and I'll say whether they're.
Well, this is a point of information, which is actually the only thing I wanted. I just needed to have the motion read, and maybe that would also help.
Well, I didn't say it really with perfect language.
No, not you. I needed to hear Bill Crozier's motion because I changed phones.
Oh.
Paul, can you read Bill's motion as it stands?
That the NFC follow the recommendations of Ross Wisdom, auditor, and put into the capital expenses line item an amount equivalent to what our depreciation expense would be, or alternatively to put that directly into the depreciation line item in the KPFA FY16 budget.
Okay, then I still want to be on the stack, and I will oppose it. So, after Barbara.
So first, Barbara's motion is to strike the final clause.
Also, as R. Paul just read it, he used the words "our capital," and I think he needs to put KPFA in both places, because isn't that really what Bill's talking about?
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Without objection, it'll say KPFA instead of our.
Yeah.
You got that, Paul?
Yeah, I just plug that in. We don't. That's minor enough that we don't need to have a motion.
That's fine.
Okay. Barbara's motion, as I understand it, is to strike the final clause, to strike the words, or alternatively, to put that directly into the depreciation line item in the FY 2016 budget. Does anyone object to striking that clause?
Hold on a second.
I won't object as long as it's in there somewhere. So, if you'd rather put it under capital equipment, that's okay with me.
Well, we're still going to vote on that.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's inappropriate to not have it in there at the budget at all.
All right. I'm not hearing any objection to striking that. So that language is now struck. Paul, are your fingers keeping pace with me, or do I need to slow down?
Yeah, I got that part. We just passed to strike all alternatively to put, et cetera.
Okay.
After that comma there.
Okay, Lydia?
Yes, okay. So I oppose it because I don't think that's the reading of what Ross Wisdom is recommending, nor did we, I think you made that very clear. This is an operating budget, and it doesn't belong in there. So I will be voting against the motion, even as amended.
Okay. Anybody else?
I agree with that.
Well, Bill, again.
Let's have a.
This is how we
have a final reading.
This is how we get ourselves into big trouble.
The motion is amended, R. Paul.
Was that Michael?
Yeah.
Hi.
So, is somebody speaking or?
Nothing. I hadn't heard Michael's voice, so I thought.
Well, actually, it was probably me, Bill. I was just saying this is how we get ourselves.
Sorry, Bill. Were you
trouble.
Asking to be back on stack again?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
I just think this is how we get ourselves into trouble. We ignore things that are going to be counted as expenses in the, you know, the budget should be a prediction of what we're going to have in our income statement, you know, for the quarterly statements, for the yearly statement, for the audit. And if we leave out important things that we know are going to be in there, like depreciation, and if we don't put it in somewhere else, I don't mind putting it in somewhere else, but if we don't put the expense in somewhere, we're just pretty much guaranteed to have a deficit next year. And I think that's the kind of thing that's led to a lot of problems for us at our stations before. We need to be more responsible in our budgeting, and I think it's important. I think it's critical that we put that in there, leave it in the budget. I don't care what we call it. It just needs to go in there somewhere.